The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 22nd, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon here in the Auburn Opelika area. And, man, we got a lot to get to on today's show. A somewhat return of Rivalry Wednesday today, as we have two wonderful guests that'll join us throughout the show this afternoon. One from Athens, Georgia. One from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We'll tell you more about that as we go. And as we flip the flip the script, because I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll flip the page to what Auburn has this weekend, which is the Arkansas Razorbacks. Happy Wednesday, Christian. How are you, sir, on, again, just a perfect day?
I think it's still just Wednesday.
Okay, just Wednesday,
Just Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Happy Friday, but after
I
that,
think I think a Happy Friday will be in order.
It'll be more of a on-edge Friday, just because of knowing what Saturday could be following that, and then Sunday, and then the next Monday. But no, it is a relatively happy Wednesday, man. We're getting over whatever hit me this weekend, having the back stages of it, but happy to be here on the show today. We're diving in, doing our deep dive into Arkansas to start our show here today, as we like to do every single Wednesday. Again, not necessarily talking as much about Arkansas versus Auburn on the field, but kind of just the overall statistics, some of the big names that you need to know, some of the big trends that you need to know from these teams. Again, we talked with our good buddy Ty Richardson of ESPN Arkansas to conclude the show yesterday, and he was able to give some more research, talk to us more about this team. And so we're going to continue doing that from the Auburn perspective. I did a whole lot of statistical research on pass offense and rush offense and yards per completion and everything like that. So we're going to dive into that. So we're going to dive into I wrote on here the fun stat of the day. I'm not sure that it is truly fun, but
we
it's
have a couple
kinda,
of those on this it, list today.
It's kind of funny, ironically. Maybe not. It'll laugh to hide away the pain. That's what it will do. We're talking about some recruits and some noise that's happening, maybe not so good on the recruiting side of things. Then you mentioned Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 in hour number one, Mike Rodak of Bama 247 in hour number two, and a lot of Auburn, Arkansas talk in between.
Yeah, and so around those two guests, phone lines are open on this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. You can give us a call. Tell us your thoughts on Auburn and Arkansas. If you want to make any sort of predictions or your picks, or can Auburn turn it around, right? Can the offense figure it out this weekend? Will the defense hold for four quarters? We're going to talk about Arkansas here in just a moment, but you can get in on the show, 334-321-1390, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And I'm laughing because I have Twitter pulled up on my computer, and a clip from Major League just popped up, and it's the broadcast booth, one of the several clips from that, and I know it's on mute, obviously,
please.
But I know exactly which one it is, and I'm here. I played it in my head, and
That movie's so funny, dude.
Why don't you play it?
I mean, maybe I'll play it for you during the break. Maybe just a bit outside is one of the many. So, again, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. And
you're just distracting yourself from this conversation.
I'm really just stalling is all I'm doing.
Is that the music kicking us out already?
Wow, that's crazy. We got to get to break. Arkansas is Auburn's opponent this weekend. And we did talk to our buddy Ty yesterday, who covers the Razorbacks better than most. And he reminded us that this series between the Tigers and the Hogs has been just wild, right? I mean, the road team dominates it historically. Both programs have gone through their ups and their downs, and both programs seemingly in their downs at the moment. And you just don't really know what this game on Saturday is going to be, especially because of what Arkansas is trying to do midseason. Arkansas is doing it. UCLA is doing it in the positive direction. Penn State clearly is not doing what they wanted to do after firing James Franklin. I could not tell you what Oklahoma State has done since they fired Mike Gundy because I don't care. You just don't know what to expect from this Arkansas team because you fire Sam Pittman and then you rattle off two games where you nearly take down ranked opponents. You lose them by one score in these games and it's like, oh, maybe Arkansas is not terrible. But some of the numbers offensively are insane. And then defensively, they're also insane.
I was about to say, yeah, they're still also insane. But yeah, you mentioned it's Saturday, October 11th at Tennessee. You only fall 34-31, and a lot of people were expecting that to kind of just be the lay down, give Tennessee exactly what they want as this team kind of just falls over and doesn't show any sort of fight. They do the exact opposite of that, but fall to 2-4. And then at home against number 4, Texas A&M, Marcel Reed and company had to do everything that they could possibly do on the offensive end just to pull out a win. They do so 45-42. And so Arkansas, this game on Saturday is a battle of the polar opposites, yet the exact same. Where one side of the football is really, really good, and the other side of the football is really, really bad. Unfortunately, you're going up against good on good and bad on bad. And so which one of those is going to give? Again, we dove into a lot of the individual team statistics that we're going to read off here in just a little bit. But, man, Arkansas's offense does not deserve to be 2-5 overall.
No, they don't. And Taylen Green, statistically, is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. They're putting up tons and tons and tons of yards. For the most part, right, we did see that team kind of get humbled against Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago, that game being at home, 56-13, ultimately being the decision maker for Sam Pittman to lose his job. But someone did just text us in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067 and says, not only do we not know what this game is going to be because of the teams, but just the irony of facing Bobby Petrino for a possible Auburn coach's last stand, a.k.a. Jetgate. So he also asked if we were old enough to remember that. Yes and no, okay? Yes and no. Do I remember it? Yes. But have I learned more about it as I've gotten older? Also yes. So, but yeah, there is a lot of ties here, unfortunately. And with this Arkansas team, you put up 35 against Ole Miss, but you give up 41. You put up 31 against Memphis, but you give up 32. Notre Dame was the outlier. We talked about that with Sam Pittman losing his job. You put up 31 against Tennessee, but you give up 34. That one in Knoxville. And you put up 42 against Texas A&M, but you give up 45. And just a side note here on that game that Arkansas played before this one, the Texas A&M game, this is the reason I don't believe in the Aggies. That's the reason right there. I know Arkansas's offense is good, but Texas A&M's defense is putrid. It is not good. With Mike Elko, of all people, running that team, running that program, I don't believe in Texas A&M. Because you remember, they gave up 40 points to Notre Dame They had to score 41 to win it. They give up 42 to Arkansas. They have to score 45 to win it. So that's just a side note in my personal opinion. I don't believe in Texas A&M, but good for Arkansas. Right, good for the Razorbacks for the last two games. They've pulled it together under Petrino. They've rallied around the interim and said, hey, we're going to go play our you-know-whats off, and we're going to try and win some football games. And I guarantee, Christian, they try to do that again on Saturday when Auburn comes to town.
Yeah, going back to A&M, you mentioned they're 7-0. They're the only undefeated team in the SEC with a win over number 8 Notre Dame in South Bend. Again, that took that fourth and goal play, just the heave to the tight end, and was able to make the grab and win it in Notre Dame after botching the extra point, ends up losing the football game. Only gave up 10 to Auburn, 9 to Mississippi State, 17 to Florida, but then you mentioned 42 to Arkansas, which is the best of those four conference offenses that you'll see. The big test this weekend will be at number 20, LSU, because we have the questions about this LSU offense. If LSU is able to march up and down the field, that's when you really know this A&M defense has troubles.
Yeah, the phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We're going to get to those in just a moment. Christian also has some incredible stats here comparing the Auburn defense and the Arkansas offense, and then vice versa, right? The Arkansas defense versus the Auburn offense. I mean, something on that side of the ball has to give, right? Either Arkansas's defense figures it out against a bad Auburn offense, or the Auburn offense figures it out against a bad Arkansas defense. And then on the flip side of things, you have a great offense for Arkansas, great defense for Auburn. Something has to give on that side of it too. And that's, it could not be more black and white in this game. On whichever unit gives, apologies for noise in the background. Today we have roofers at the radio station that will be here all day long. So if you hear some hammering or nailing or drilling or something, just disregard. It's okay. We're getting a new roof on this place. So it really is that black and white, though. Whichever unit for these teams this weekend gives in or overcomes their bad play, that team's going to win, plain and simple.
And frustratingly enough, if one of those is Auburn on either side of the football, you don't feel like you give over credit, right? It doesn't make you necessarily feel better. You would obviously feel fine if Auburn's defense does what they are continuing to do or have continued to do against Arkansas's offense, but goes back to the conversation we've had all week of if Auburn's offense finds their identity against Arkansas, it's not a, okay, the world is fixed. Everything is perfectly fine. Let's get to the phone lines here on this Wednesday afternoon for the first time. 334-321-1390. Daniel, it's been a minute. Good to hear from you, brother. How you doing on this Wednesday?
Hey, guys. I'm glad y'all clarified about the roofers. I thought maybe Christian was banging his hands on the table while you were talking, Jacob.
It was my head, actually.
Counterpoint.
Yeah, he was actually hitting his face against the wall just in frustration.
Oh, man. Well, hey, I just wanted to ask, preparing for yet another Saturday, what do y'all's Saturdays for each of you look like between an Auburn home game versus an Auburn away game? Thanks, guys.
Okay, yeah. Appreciate the call.
This Saturday is the outlier.
this Saturday is the outlier, but I'll say most weekends – Saturday, we do our absolute best to sleep in coming off of a Friday night football game that typically doesn't work because our brains are just so fried and wired and going nuts that it's typically late Friday when we get to sleep. And then Saturday, I like coffee, so I like to get up and drink coffee. Just being completely honest, I like to sit outside on our back porch and drink coffee and listen to the Friday night game. I listen to my broadcast, at least the first half of it, then turn on some College Game Day. And then for an Auburn University home game, I pretty much just watch football. I try to go and bounce around some tailgates with people that I know and see people that are in town that I know we're in that don't normally get to come down and things like that. And then we're part of the media, so we go and get our credentials, go in the stadium, sit in the box for a little bit, and hang out at the stadium and watch the game, take a bunch of notes, talk with people, and And then go to the post-game press conference, good or bad, and try to get some questions in there, and then go home. And that's pretty much it. Those are long days, man. There's a lot going on there. So that's what a home game pretty much looks like for me.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, relatively the same. The Friday nights, the home game or away game with Lee Scott Academy, doing a lot of the broadcast. We get home, and for those that haven't figured out, we are roommates, if those yeah. have not been yeah. Confirmed, for those that listen daily, and it makes our other roommate really happy that we get home after being gone all day Friday, and we talk more football afterwards, till about midnight, till our brains yeah. allow us to shut off. But yeah, we bring a, if not two, TVs down and multi-view just about every single one of them and watch every single possible game, because we like to use the excuse we have to watch college football because it's our job, and we have to sit there and watch every single down of every single game, which is a really, really good excuse. So for anybody that does that anyways, just find a way to, like, get into the media world, and you can just say that's your job
anyways. Figure it out.
Away weekends are obviously a little bit simpler, a little bit more, you don't want to say relaxing from the standpoint of, again, it's an eventful Saturday when they're at home, and we wouldn't want it any other way. But a road Saturdays, you don't have to prepare driving to Auburn mm-hmm. 8 hours before just to to get a spot and walk right. up to Jordan-Hare. But a good question, Daniel. Again, it's been a minute since we've heard from you. My forehead is doing okay from all of the banging, but this Saturday is a little bit different. We are celebrating the midlife crisis of a couple people here this weekend.
And it's like a quarter life crisis. Quarter life. Right?
I don't know. I feel old.
Oh, yeah. You got young deaths in your family then? If you're talking midlife crisis at this age, I mean, that's not good for your future.
I mean, 25, man. That's
when they say it goes downhill.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I've noticed it firsthand.
Most of our listeners just flipped you the bird over.
Oh,
the
I'm sure I can imagine.
So,
oh yeah.
Daniel, we appreciate the call. Yeah, Saturdays are fun. In basketball season, believe it or not, and people, you wouldn't think it's this way. And we're about to take a break, but you wouldn't think it's this way. But crazy enough, football season of the three major seasons, right? Football, basketball, baseball. Football is the least chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
It's the calmest.
It's scheduled.
Yeah, it's scheduled.
Well, not necessarily scheduled. Your routine halfway. You know that it's your weekend.
Yeah, exactly. You have high school on Friday, college on Saturday, and then we obviously watch NFL on Sundays. Basketball season is all over the place.
Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday. Like it.
Yeah, it is. So basketball.
And then throw baseball
chaotic
in there with rain delays.
Yeah. And then crossover season. Oh, yeah. Crossover season, baby. We're coming up on it for basketball and football, then basketball and baseball. And you walk into the booth at the baseball field for the first time and you're like, wait, what's a strike? All right. Was that a drop third? Is that still a thing? I don't know. I've been calling basketball the last 3 months. So, we appreciate it, Daniel. We have a good time. We love what we do, and we're very blessed to do what we do as well. But
I've legitimately a couple times going from football to basketball have called a false start on a travel before. Not even joking.
I've done that too. I'm sure I've had something like that. My brain flipped to basketball for high school for the first time yesterday. I was talking with Auburn High's basketball coaches, and I was like, oh, boy. Okay, here we go. I got to start thinking about a starting five.
Yeah. The three-point line.
Yeah, and it's like, wait a minute. Oh, shooting guard. Oh, got it. Okay.
Hopefully we still have a while until we truly have to think too much about that.
I don't know, man. I mean, crossover season, it's going to sneak up on us. So, okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more Arkansas, more stats to get to. Numbers-wise, yes, and then I don't know what your fun stat is. I don't know what you want to consider that. I don't know what category we put that in.
Again, it's funny because you laugh away the pain.
Yeah, we'll keep it at that. So stick around. You definitely want to be here for that. And then we talk with our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 coming up at 2:30. We're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, talking Auburn and Arkansas. The Hogs offensively are great, defensively are terrible, and Auburn is pretty much the exact opposite. And so more on that in just a moment, but we get to the phone lines yet again here on the Wednesday edition of the show. They are open for you, 334-321-1390. And we got our man all the way down in Lochapoca. Lonnie's on the phone lines. What's going on, man? You feeling any better about this game this weekend?
What do you think? You said Arkansas's defense is not really good.
It's one of the worst statistically.
You don't have to have a good defense to beat this team. I mean, I gave up after the A&M game. The Oklahoma game was stolen from us, but after that, I gave up. When I saw what I saw on the A&M game, that was it.
And what's crazy, Lonnie, is we talk in these losses, right? Each loss, you can go back and find that particular moment, that play, that instant of the team completely crumbling and falling on itself and losing, right, and just mentally just destroying itself, right? Isn't it funny how we can look back now at the Oklahoma game as being the moment in the season that this team fumbled and crumbled and just fell in on itself? Isn't that funny to think about?
Well, teams take on the identity of their head coach. And our head coach, in my opinion, is the worst coach in Auburn history and is an absolute loser. I'm sure he's a really nice guy. I've never met him. I don't mean anything personally towards him, but I think he's a terrible coach, the worst coach in Auburn history. And all I want to know is how much is the womanizing scumbag from Arkansas going to beat us by this weekend?
I mean, they are a favorite in this game is Arkansas. If that tells you anything, the people in Vegas think it's going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you this. If the game's close coming down into the fourth quarter, how much trust do you have that we can win it?
Yeah. Or do you? And what's funny too is you don't even bet on Arkansas to win it. You bet on Auburn to lose it, right? Right?
Yep. I mean, think about this, guys. And I don't know if y'all are old enough to remember Bobby Lauder or know who he is, but he was a big booster back in the day, owned Colonial Bank. And everybody used to complain about how much meddling that he made in the Auburn athletics and football program.
Sure.
But looking back now, this program needs somebody like him. Who is going to be the one to step up and save this program? Because I'm 50 years old, and these are some of the darkest, if not the darkest, football days that I have witnessed in my lifetime, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah,
somebody has got to save this program, and I don't know if that's a booster. I don't know if it's hiring the right coach. I don't know if it's a conglomeration of people. I don't know what it is, but you know, I've told you I'm big on Summerall because I do think that we need to get a young guy in here and give him a little bit of time and build a staff and recruit well and all that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I could be completely wrong on that. He could come in here and just, you know, do worse than Hugh for all I know. But I don't know what's going to – I mean, I just don't know who can save this program. I know somebody needs to.
Yep.
Because if we get much worse than we are right now, we're going to end up being on par in the way that people talk about Auburn with the Mississippi States and the Kentuckys of the world in football.
Yeah.
And you do not want that to happen.
No.
So
I'm with you. Lonnie, we appreciate you, my friend, all the way down there in Lochapoca, and I think he's right. I think he is right. If Auburn doesn't get it turned around quickly, you're slipping into that abyss of some of those other SEC programs. 334-321-1390. We get back to the phone lines. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Jay.
What's up, Jay? I got about 60 seconds for you, man.
what do you think is going to be the breaking point before they decide to make a decision on this? Because I tell you what, I really thought Saturday night was the breaking point. And I'm telling you, the fan base is completely just erupted.
Yeah, and most of them were checked out.
I wonder what it's going to take for Cohen and the president of the university and all of them to finally decide, hey, and Jimmy Rain, too. Jimmy Rain's the new Bobby Lauder. I heard him talking about Bobby Lauder. Bobby Lauder was hands-on with the athletic department. He was in Auburn with every decision made on the football program. Mm-hmm. He's the one that brought Pat Dye in. So if that tells you how long ago that was. But Bobby, to his credit, kept Auburn football in line and kept, you know, they had what they needed. Maybe not everything they wanted, but anyway, what's the breaking point? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Jay. And that is an ongoing question that
many thought were already answered.
Yeah,
Saturdays ago.
Yeah, I mean
Baylor.
We were predicting Missouri to be the breaking point, and clearly it wasn't, right? And so I guess do you kick the can down the road for another week and say Arkansas's the breaking point? But it's like,
if that's what we talked about yesterday. If Arkansas is as far as the leash goes, that's very concerning.
If the mentality is this weekend is your final straw, your final test, if this is the breaking point, you've already made the decision. You've already made up your mind, which tells me, as we get to break, I think there's a little more to this than just firing somebody. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But when we come back, our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, our weekly guest on Wednesday afternoons, joins us from Athens, Georgia.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us here in Auburn and Opelika. And we get to the phone lines and bring in our weekly Wednesday guest at 2:30. He covers the Georgia Bulldogs better than anybody for Dogs 247. Our man Jordan Hill is joining us now. And look, I would ask you how your week is doing, but you've got to be doing better now that the website's back up and running functionally, right?
I don't know why you say that, Jacob. I got a free Monday off. That was I just kicked my feet up on the table and played some solitaire. Glad that we're all back on board on 24/7. That was a long day, but happy to pop back on with you guys and excited to jump into another busy week. Georgia doesn't have a football game this Saturday, but that doesn't mean don't have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, not to air out any dirty laundry. We had some impact here at the station with the AWS. That's what I was told, that had some computer issues and had some website issues. I mean, it was like a countrywide thing. So pretty crazy stuff. But yes, glad that everything is back up and running. And of course, you cover Georgia on a daily basis, and Dogs continue to do what they need to do. And what a classic game this was last weekend between the Rebels and the Dogs, Ole Miss and Georgia. And we thought late in this game, Jordan, that Lane Kiffin had figured it out. Lane Kiffin had done it. He was going to get that big win he's been looking for. And then he does what he normally does, and he blew it again. Georgia wins 43-35 over Ole Miss. Break it down for us, my man. What'd you see between the hedges last Saturday?
I mean, it was an offensive shootout between the two teams. I think the biggest thing was, you know, the Georgia offense deserves a lot of credit for not getting discouraged by the lack of stops on the other side. You know, Ole Miss scores touchdowns on each of their first five possessions, and Georgia scores on all of their possessions along that stretch. But they had to settle for a couple of field goals. And it became clear in the fourth quarter, you know, Georgia offense is doing what it's supposed to do, but it's got to get a stop. And credit to the offense and staying the course and, You know, never saw any kind of panic, never saw any frustration on the sideline between the offense and the defense. They were telling those guys, hey, just go get us one stop. And that's what C.J. Allen told us after the game. And the guys on defense were telling each other, let's just get one stop. They finally get it early in the fourth quarter. The offense takes advantage, goes and scores a touchdown. And one stop quickly turns into three stops. I thought that Georgia's defense really affected Trinidad Chambliss in that fourth quarter. I don't think he was nearly as sharp. I think that the defense pass rush had really come to life in the final 15 minutes. I think the crowd had a factor in it. They were really loud in the end of the game. And what had been really tough game defensively for Georgia ends on a high note in that area. Two three and outs followed by a turnover on downs to end the Ole Miss threat. So Georgia had to sweat it out. The defense has a lot to correct during the bye week, but at this point, a win is a win. That's sort of just been the way Georgia's going about these games. All of these games seem to be really, really close. The margin for error was razor thin against Ole Miss, but they made the plays late to get some separation. Wildest thing for the folks interested in that sort of thing. As close as this thing was, Georgia still managed to cover, and they found a way to get another win, and I know that gave them a little bit of momentum going into the bye week.
I didn't celebrate that field goal
whatsoever,
Jordan.
We don't pay attention to that.
So I did not celebrate that whatsoever. But a relatively clean game, only seven total penalties, and only two times did the punter walk onto the football field for either of these teams. But Georgia's Brett Thorson did not step on the football field one time, and I saw the video that he posted where he went and unfollowed a bunch of the offensive players and got mad at them for not letting him do his job on the field. But Georgia uses the running game to dominate the fourth quarter, outscoring Ole Miss 17-0. Georgia rushes for 221 yards, but also throw for 289. Talk about the job that Gunnar Stockton did. I mean, continues to impress game after game, throws for 289 yards, four touchdowns, also 59 rushing yards and a touchdown in there as well.
Yeah, I thought that was Gunnar Stockton's best game to date. I mean, he took care of the football. He made good decisions. And kind of going back to what the point I made a minute ago, never any kind of panic. You know, I think it would have been very easy with Georgia trailing for him to feel like, I got to create an explosive play. We got to just take a deep shot that might be dangerous and make something happen. He never did that, and I think he deserves a lot of credit. I mean, an 84% completion percentage. I think it was the second half he didn't throw an incompletion, and I saw a stat out there that he is the first quarterback to have thrown at least 12 pass attempts in a half against an AP top five team and not have an incompletion since Aaron Rodgers at Cal did that against USC.
Wow.
Back in the day. So a very, very small fraternity of guys who have done that, and no, I mean, you could not have asked any more from Gunnar. And I think it's worth noting, too, you know, the Auburn listeners to this, you might remember he got beat up in that Auburn game. They got after him a few times. He was not able to practice on Monday or Tuesday dealing with an oblique injury, and he fought through that. And Kirby told us after the game that they had kind of told Gunnar going into the Ole Miss game, look, we're not going to run you that much. You know, we got to keep you upright. We got to keep you healthy. And Gunnar was basically like, no. No, we're not doing that. Like, we're going to run. He said, Kirby said that Gunnar said, my teammates need to see me run. I mean, this is just a guy that, you know, it's cliche, but he puts it all on the line. He does not care. He's going to take the hits. He's going to feel the pain on Sunday morning, but he's going to do what it takes for this team to win. And, you know, he deserves a lot of credit. There's been a lot of doubters, and I've had questions myself into the season. That Ole Miss game, I think, should really take care of any doubts that this guy is the guy for Georgia, and he's got the potential and the ability to take Georgia as far as they can go.
Going back to two weekends ago now with Auburn and Georgia inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, Georgia uses almost 22 minutes of time of possession in that second half to march their way back and ultimately beat the Tigers. You now look at this game, and Georgia had the ball for almost 38 minutes of the contest. Do you see that continuing to be a strategy in this new world of college football where sometimes your best defense is your offense based off of how Georgia's secondary secondary has looked from time to time, and again, as you mentioned, with Ole Miss scoring on their first five drives, or is that much more of just a feel it out based off of game by game and who you're playing on the other side of the field?
Well, I can say for Georgia, that's absolutely how they want to play, and they did that in the second half. I think the split between first downs in the second half between Georgia and Ole Miss, it was something like 19-6. Now, part of that, Ole Miss did have a 75-yard touchdown. You know, they would have probably had a few first downs along the way had they not just gone ahead and scored. But no, you know, part of what allowed them to withstand what was a really good first half for Ole Miss, Ole Miss only had five possessions. Now, they scored touchdowns on all five of those, but, you know, if Georgia wasn't able to hold on to the ball, to build those long drives, to be able to answer those scores, you know, you're talking about Ole Miss maybe being able to pull away with this one in the first half alone. So, no, they want to run the ball. They want to really grind on defenses. They want to suffocate and, you know, have the defensive line especially just begging, we got to stop these guys. We got to get off this field because they're gashing us. And, you know, even if it's runs of 3 yards, 4 yards, you know, 5 yards, you might, you know, break an 8-yard run. You might get a 12-yard. You might break one and really do something explosive. I think that Georgia understands that this is the best mode of operation for this team. And two, I mean, they were really balanced on Saturday. You know, they really let those running backs go to work while also allowing Gunnar Stockton to throw downfield and to make some big plays along the way.
We're talking with Jordan Hill of Dawgs 247 here on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn and Opelika. You mentioned when we got you on the phone that Georgia is on a bye week now with a three-game win streak, four of their last five. They head into a bye week before what has turned out to be a manageable stretch, I think, at the end of the season. They'll play Florida on November 1st. They'll go to Starkville to take on Mississippi State, host Texas, which I don't know what that means at this point, Charlotte for your last non-conference game, or I guess your last tune-up game, and then Georgia Tech, a game that could be very fascinating down the stretch. What do you expect the focus to be in this bye week with Georgia's remaining schedule, and if you had a chance to talk to Kirby Smart about that this week?
Yeah, just cleaning things up across the board. I know that they're starting this week really focused on themselves. I imagine by Thursday, maybe Friday at the latest, they're really going to start looking at Florida. And yeah, I thought it was interesting. I actually just wrote a story right before I popped on here with you guys. Kirby talking about the secondary. You know, the secondary has given up a lot of plays, but he really downplayed the issues they've had in terms of them being the biggest problem with this defense. You know, he said there's a lot of things that need to be cleaned up. Now that secondary wants to play better, and thought at times they just did not have a good plan against this Ole Miss attack. They played a lot of off-man coverage, you know, giving 7-8 yard cushions to these receivers. And Lane Kiffin, there was one point, the touchdown that I mentioned, that 75-yard touchdown, I mean, Lane's like jumping up and down, basically telling Trinidad, throw it over here.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they wind up hitting that guy, and Daylon Everett takes one false step, and I mean, the receiver is off to the races. So there's a lot to clean up. I think the secondary kind of getting settled in more. I don't know that there's going to be any personnel changes there, but better tackling on the whole. They tackled really sloppily in that Ole Miss game, and you can't do that with the kind of receivers they have. Probably more than anything, though, just getting guys healthy. This offensive line's been really banged up. Finally got Ernest Green back for the Ole Miss game, and I think that will do him good to have a week without a game, getting some of the other offensive linemen healthy and getting ready for what could be a really long stretch. Kirby talked about it. We spoke to him for about 15 minutes on Tuesday. He said, you know, this is a five-game stretch, and, you know, with Georgia already being bowl eligible, you know you got six games left, but you make a run, seven games, eight games. Nine, you know, you might be playing quite a bit more football. You need to take advantage of what little rest you do get while also working and preparing, because, you know, it looks like a manageable slate going forward, but all those teams are very dangerous. If you get caught slipping, they will take advantage and deliver an upset that will really throw a wrench into Georgia's plans.
Georgia football 6-1 so far this season. We told you Florida, Mississippi State, Texas, Charlotte, and Georgia Tech is the remaining schedule for Kirby Smart and the Dogs. Do want to flip over to basketball quickly because, Jordan, you'll have Saturday off with the bye week for football, but right back to work on Sunday afternoon as Troy comes to Athens for an exhibition game inside of Stegman Coliseum. Are you guys going to be able to be there and watch this game and anything that you're looking for with this Georgia team an exhibition before they open up the season the first week of November?
Yep, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central on Sunday, and yeah, I will be there. They've already played one exhibition. They played at Georgia State last week. Good little tune-up, and then this will be an interesting test against a Troy team that made the NCAA tournament last year. And things I'm watching for, just want to see how well this team shoots the ball, especially from three. That was an area they really focused on in the portal. But it didn't show up in that game against Georgia State. They really struggled to hit shots from deep. Need to do a better job there. We got to watch a little bit of practice on Monday, and I thought they had some similar issues as far as shooting from deep. And really, other than that, just kind of want to see some new faces. Been very impressed by what I've seen and what I've heard at this point. Got Jeremiah Wilkinson, a Cal transfer from Powder Springs, Georgia. He's played really well. I think he could be one of Georgia's leading scorers. See what Blue Kane does. I think he needs to be one of Georgia's leading scorers for this to be a team that's really got a chance to threaten and keep up in a really deep SEC. And then Santo Cyril, sophomore center. He's cut some weight. He's looking really good. I want to see what he looks like out there. So it'll be a fun little trial run getting that exhibition against Troy ahead of the season opener just a few weeks away on November 3rd.
Looks like the Dogs are going to open up with five straight home games, including one against Morehead State, always a tough team. Georgia Tech comes to Athens on November 14th, and then Georgia participating in, oh, I remember this, the Shriners Children's Charleston Classic, Jordan. At least you're in journalism where you can just type that out. For people that have to say that on the radio or TV, I feel sorry for them, man.
Yeah, I usually just say, yeah, they're in that tournament in Charleston. we make it short and sweet.
Tournament in Charleston. That's what we'll, or in Charleston. That's what we'll address it as for Georgia basketball on the hardwood. He is Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. He writes for them every single day, puts out fantastic content, and he joins us each week here on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Opelika. Man, plug it all. Tell people where they can find you, and hopefully you can enjoy a Saturday off this weekend for the bye week.
We're going to do our best, but dogs247.com on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill on Twitter at dogs247. Got the Junkyard Dogcast podcast, got some good stuff during this bye week. And yeah, football coverage, basketball coverage is picking up. Busy time of year, but a great time of year. And we'll try to get some stuff done around the house early on Saturday and then maybe sit back and watch some football before. But I think it's going to be a very hectic, but very entertaining second half of Georgia's season.
We appreciate you as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Jordan Hill, Dogs 247. Check it out for all your Georgia insider information for football, basketball, and beyond. They do it best over in Athens. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we get into hour number two. Thanks to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 for being with us, as he is every single Wednesday. And coming up in hour number two, we're going to talk more Arkansas, look at some of those offensive numbers. Christian pulled a bunch of fascinating stats that we'll talk about. And a couple of other notes that we need to talk about with this Auburn team going up against Arkansas. I mean, just a lot of crazy stuff that we will get to in hour number two. Plus, our guy Mike Rodak of Bama 247 is going to join us coming up at 3:30. So, looking forward to talking with him about all things Alabama as well. And NBA opening night was last night. What did you think about that?
It was solid.
A couple of games last night. First game on NBC in, what, 20 or 25 years, something like that, that they returned. And didn't go great to start, but they figured it out.
Yeah, the pregame show wasn't great, but their little intro was really,
with
really
sweet. With
the lasers
and everything, that was sweet.
Well, that, and just like the reintroduction to the NBA on NBC, it showed all of the old school highlights and was talking to the younger players about, so – what do you remember? What was your favorite moment of NBA on NBC? And half of them were like, dude, I wasn't even alive.
They were like, we weren't even born.
We were not born when that was the case. Or it was like, oh, Michael Jordan. And then it would just show like a random Jordan highlights, which was really, really funny. You got to see Kevin Durant do his best Kirby Smart late in the game and try and call a timeout where they didn't have any. They didn't get it granted, but he was just clapping that they were going to double overtime. And
the Rockets ended up losing, so it was fine. But, dude, the Thunder were going at nuts.
Oh yeah.
They were livid.
I'm not sure if you watched the game. I think you would gone up, but man, Jabari had a corner three. It wasn't an open three. It was much more of the Thunder covered up plan A and plan B, so they had to throw it to the short corner. Jabari took a step and shot a fadeaway three, and I thought it was going in.
Yeah, he hit a couple
big
shots.
Oh, it looked so good.
He hit a couple.
It looked so good. And then the Warriors and Jimmy Butler are really good as well. Luka's really good, but everything runs through Luka. To where if the Lakers don't have success, it's because of everybody else around him, because of what Luka does or doesn't do. Was an assist shy of a triple-double, but Jimmy Butler did his best, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and had half of his points from the free throw line, and they dominated.
The Warriors simply did what everybody's going to do while LeBron James is out, and they're going to let Luka get his.
Yeah.
You want to go off for 35? Cool. Go do it, King. Have fun. But
everybody else is going to have 12.
Yeah, exactly. And the Warriors did just that. So all the other teams are in action tonight across the NBA. You've got the World Series coming up starting on Friday, Game 1, between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. And
America versus Canada.
When's the last time, I guess, whatever, Toronto made it, right? Because they're the only Canadian team. I don't remember. Was it like 98 or something like that? I can't remember. They've shown the stat last time that Toronto
93.
Made it. 93.
They beat the Phillies.
Okay. Last time that they made the World Series. How about that? When's the last time the Dodgers made the World Series?
Not that long ago. Unfortunately.
We joked on the way out and made our somewhat predictions. I mean, you said Dodgers in six, right? I said Dodgers in five. I mean,
is the format the way that it always is?
Is it 2-3-2 or is it 2-2-1-1?
That was
one,
the
one.
Reason I said six, because if it was going back to where the last
leading
two
up has been 2-3-2, but I don't know. I don't know for this year because I feel like they changed.
It is 2-3-2. Okay, yeah, Dodgers in six then.
2-3-2.
Yeah.
So two games in LA, three games in Toronto, and then two games back in LA.
Correct, yeah.
And reminder, Toronto plays indoors. So, interesting.
I feel like the
here,
three.
Man,
I don't love it.
I like
the 2-2-1-1-1.
I agree. I know it makes it a pain for traveling and stuff like that. I get
but
that.
But it's like the road team. You win one of the first two on the road, and all of a sudden you win your three at home.
Yeah, and I think it favors the lower-seeded team. I agree. I don't like it either, but
it favors the lower seed unless the home team can win one of the games on the road. To where at worst it's you're down 2-3-2.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, World Series starts Friday. NBA's underway. Hockey's underway. College basketball is right around the corner too. But don't worry, college football's still going crazy, and we're gonna talk a lot more of that. In hour number two, more notes on Arkansas, more notes on Auburn, and we'll talk a little Crimson Tide as well. All that coming up in hour number two. Stick around.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7.
ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 1067. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 1067, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 1067. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. And, hey, if you missed any of the first hour of today's show, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of it on our station website at ESPNAU.com in hour number one. We started to dive into Arkansas a little bit. We're going to do some more of that here in hour number two, talk about the offensive numbers, which are great. Talk about the defensive numbers, which are terrible, and how that compares with Auburn. And so we'll talk some more about that in hour two, but hit on that in hour one, took some phone calls, had some text messages as well, and then we talked to our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 about all things Georgia athletics. So that was in hour number one. If you missed it, check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And Christian, I know you're about to preview the second hour, but can I just say the internet has ruined my brain with the stupidest joke meme of our lifetimes with 6-7. Oh, it God. Has ruined me. I don't think it's... I think it's so stupid, but every time that we say 106-7, I almost laugh because it's so dumb and the internet is so broken that our society is currently... We are currently laughing at a joke of... Two numbers, 6-7. That's it. That's what it is. That's what it is. It is so incredibly dumb. It's got the stupid little hand thing. It's got a song, apparently, that I don't even know about. But the kids, I've seen people banning it. I've seen kids in classrooms banning the term 6-7 because it's so stupid. But I can't even hardly get through our show intro anymore because I say, we're here on ESPN 1067, and then I just start laughing because it's just so dumb. And any parents that are out there right now, I hope you've heard it at least once because it's got to be one of the worst trends on the internet.
Oh, ever. It's terrible.
Ever. It's and it literally has no meaning. It means nothing.
At least not that I know of.
I looked it up. It means nothing.
For anybody that was wondering,
God,
was it last week when you opened the show laughing?
Yes, where I couldn't get through it. It was because you did it for the first time.
Yeah, that was the first time that we realized. Because
I had not put that in my brain, and then you brought it up, and I think about it every time. So, sorry, I had to get that off my chest today.
Yeah, well, here in hour number two... Here on ESPN 106.7, we're going to dive into some of the numbers for Auburn and Arkansas. We're going to dive into in hour number one, but realize that it fits perfectly with the conversation that we have in hour number two at 3:15. Or diving into again, we've teased it for long enough, and I was ready to read it, but I don't think we were ready yet. It had to marinate just a little bit longer on our to-do sheet of just some really fun stats that we've been able to find. Not just statistics, but facts that I actually sat on my computer for about 20 minutes today and did research on and found out that it is true. And then also some other ones that just, again, you laugh to take away the pain. And that's basically how the first little bit of hour number two is going to go before we talk with Mike Rodak of Bama 24-7 to recap their win over Tennessee in the third Saturday in October and preview everything that they have coming up with the Crimson Tide. But again, all of that coming up here in hour number two. He is Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us on ESPN.
1089. Here we go. There's an article floating around social media at the moment, and we're getting some people texting in about it. And I don't... there's only one outlet reporting it, and it's Yellowhammer News. So take that for what you want. But it's an article saying that Ken Williamson... Does that name ring a bell to you? Ken Williamson.
Yeah.
The SEC official... has been permanently suspended from officiating conference games, according to Yellowhammer News. They are the only ones reporting it. I have not seen it anywhere else. We've had several people text in and ask about it. 334-784-1067 is the text box number. They said the decision to remove the longtime referee comes in the immediate wake of an SEC review of 11 complaints against him and his crew during the Auburn-Georgia game. According to sources, 9 of those complaints were validated by conference officials. Now, I don't know if this is fully legit. I'm not taking it and running with it yet because, again, they are the only ones that have reported this, and it's been up for almost an hour. So I don't know if that's true or not. But I wanted to at least address it because, like I said, several people have texted and asked about it. I don't know. If it's true, that's pretty wild. If it's not true, then shame on journalism. But
shame on journalism. You got everybody. You got exactly what you wanted out of everybody.
I just find it odd that they're the only ones that have
talked
about.
In an hour.
That tells me I probably wouldn't take it and run with it.
Because if it was legit, and if this is found out tomorrow, then I guess credit to whoever leaked whatever information. But whenever there's anything newsworthy that has the word Auburn in it, anybody posts anything about it because they realize the attention that it gets. So you know that SportsCenter and On3 and ESPN and all of those places would release that information as well, simply based off of what they know the traction it will bring.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I probably wouldn't take it to the water cooler just yet if I were you. So, all right, there you go. Anyway, Arkansas, in terms of stats, which is what Auburn is going to see this weekend, you've got their offense, their defense, their special teams, their coaches fired. Bobby Petrino is the next man up, apparently. And some of the numbers are wild because we're going to talk about Arkansas, and then we're going to talk about Auburn in comparison.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one's worse.
No, you really don't. And I feel like we just have to work our way down the list that I was able to come up with, and we'll just start on the offensive side of the football. Pass offense, Arkansas is 14th in the country at 272 yards per game throwing the football. Auburn, 98th, 170 yards per game. So Arkansas averages 102 more passing yards per game than Auburn. Run offense, Arkansas averages 14th at 225.3 yards per game. Auburn, it hurts the fact that I have to say this. I had to click the more button because it only showed me a list of 50, and I had to go and click the next tab over to find Auburn. They are 61st in the country at 162 yards per game. So Auburn is averaging right around 332 yards per game. Arkansas is averaging almost 500.
Yikes. There's pretty big difference there. And that's what's scary about this game this weekend is even if Auburn's defense plays good, not great, just good, and Arkansas's defense does not.
Yeah, the perfect 11 a.m. game where you're just that soft coverage defense.
If you're just talking offense versus offense here, Auburn cannot keep up with Arkansas. They can't even dream about keeping up with Arkansas. Auburn couldn't keep up with Arkansas's offense if Auburn was just doing it in practice against nobody, which apparently they're just a world beater Super Bowl champs in practice is what we've always been told, right? Even though in that scenario, they could not keep up with this Arkansas offense. It's truly fascinating to watch.
Really, I mean, it's the fact that Auburn is 61st in the country. You are about middle of the pack in rushing yards per game at 162.
Then you start look at some of these other numbers, and then I have a text from yesterday that I want to get to about the defensive stuff.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Well, here, we'll get to the rest of the offensive ones that I found that were worth noting. Third down conversion percentage. Have fun with this one. Arkansas is third. They complete 55% of their third downs. That's pretty dang good.
That's pretty darn good.
I'm pretty
good.
Sure it was Utah and Vanderbilt that were in front of them. Hmm. Auburn, there's quite a few more teams in front of them. Auburn is 98th in the country in third down conversion percentage at 36.8%. So almost one out of, or just above one out of every three third downs they're able to get. And I would love to know what the statistic, I don't think they have this exactly, but third and five or more. Because the third and ones, you feel like Auburn gets a majority of the time when they actually run the right plays. But how many third and eights, third and nines, third and twelves
that stats
has Auburn
yeah.
been in that they didn't convert?
You'd think they would convert them because they get so many opportunities to convert third and longs, you know?
Well, thankfully this week we're actually starting to, rather than a bunch of long developing plays on third and long, it's going to be more so like short routes and allowing receivers to make yards after the catch to try and pick up the first down. And it's like, okay,
well, what Auburn's good at is yak stuff. Yeah.
What could be fun is just not getting in third and long. That would be pretty cool. One thing that helps with not getting in third and long is penalties. Oh, penalties per game, you say. Auburn is, or Arkansas rather, is 45th in penalties per game. They average right around 5.5. Auburn is 131st out of 134 teams. 131st. Out of 134 total teams that average 8.5 penalties per game.
Coaching. 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 That's what that is.
If every one of those was a false start or an offsides, it's 40-plus yards every single game. A bare minimum 5-yard penalty.
Yeah.
Much less half of them are holds, then all of a sudden you're right around 60, 70 yards.
Throw in a PI in there. Throw in personal fouls. Throw in all the stupid crap that Auburn decides to do on a daily, weekly basis.
Yardage. Hold on. Let me try and find the...
Oh, penalty yardages. I'm sure that's...
Penalty yards per game. Here we go. I found it. It's on NCAA. Mm-hmm. Arkansas averages 51.14 yards per game in penalties. Auburn... Oh, gosh. I'm at 100 and I haven't found them. 120th out of 134 teams at 70 yards per game.
70 yards per game.
And penalties.
That's a good offensive drive. That's a full offensive drive.
That's a great offensive drive for an offense that averages just 330 yards per game.
I can't do mental math. Give me a second. What'd you say, 330?
Yeah. Same, but basically minus 70. We average 260.
It's 21%. So Auburn's penalty yardage is 70 divided by 330. Auburn, what's the best way to say that? Auburn has 21% of its penalty. Crap. You see what I'm saying here?
It's not direct because some of the penalties are on defense, but you take that for, even if you took half of those.
Yeah.
And said that they take 67% or 75% of that, of the 70.
6-7.
God, of the 70 yards, say that 50 of those are offensive.
It's so bad. That's
almost
20%
of your total offensive
yardage. That's so bad. And that's just the Auburn offense, which goes in comparison with the Arkansas defense, which we're about to talk about in just a moment. And we had somebody text us yesterday.
Oh, no.
334-784-1067 and says, oh, where'd it go? Ah, there it is. It says Arkansas is averaging defensively giving up 6 touchdowns per conference game. So in the SEC, Arkansas defensively is averaging 6 touchdowns given up per game. They asked, has Auburn even scored 6 touchdowns in 4 conference games? I believe the answer is yes, technically.
2-1-1. They've scored 6, but one of those we give to Xavier Adkins in the defense.
Because he got them to the 1-yard line.
Yeah.
So
Auburn's offense has basically essentially scored 5 touchdowns in conference play.
In 4 games, Auburn has scored 5 true touchdowns offensively. Arkansas's defense is giving up 6 per game.
Yeah, 32.5 points per game. They're 119th in the country in scoring defense. But just wait. That's the very last bullet point. Because
I want you to read the rest of these, yes, because I want to get to the next segment of stuff after the break.
Oh, yeah. That scoring defense will lead us really, really nicely into my fun statistic.
Oh, yeah.
Continuing down, again, we had a couple for offensive. Now you're looking at team defense, where Arkansas is 124th. Out of 100, again, this is all out of 134 FBS teams. They give up 443 yards per game. Auburn is 30th, averaging 316 yards per game. Passing yards allowed. Arkansas, 113th, 255 yards per game. Auburn, 85th, at 229 yards per game. Rushing yards allowed. This is where it's even worse. Arkansas is 119th. They give up 189 yards per game on the ground. Offense, if you're listening, they give up 189 yards on the ground.
A game.
Auburn is 10th in the country at 87.1 rushing yards allowed per game. And then again, scoring defense, Arkansas is 119th. Allowing 32.7 points per game. Auburn is 24th. Auburn average is giving up 17.8 points per game.
So just round up. Auburn's giving up 18 points a game, and you're a 3-4 football team.
Just wait for the fun stat.
Don't worry, though. More to come about the Auburn offense and how it simply has failed the Auburn defense. A stat that I truly can't believe is real, but it is. I double-checked. It is. It's real. We'll talk about that and why a change could be coming in more than one way. We talk about that next as we're just underway here in hour number 2 on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 and have some more stats to get to. We read a bunch of the Arkansas stats and kind of how Auburn compared to those, right, offensively, defensively, going up against. I mean, it's so funny because you see so often in college football or in college basketball where it's a good offense versus a good defense, but then most of the time it's, you know, then the bad offense versus the bad defense or whatever. There's normally good on good versus bad on bad. This is good on bad, good on bad. That's what this is this weekend. It's a good, well, no, it is
it's
a good.
It's the same.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is good on good versus bad on bad. And so the idea is something has to give. Something has to break. Is one of the goods going to give in, or is one of the bads going to figure it out? And speaking of bad, this stat that you found, and it's not even a, I guess it's a stat. It's more of a nugget. That's what I describe this as. This is a nugget. Okay, about Auburn's offense, in particular in the passing game.
Do you want to read that one first, or do you want to continue off of the scoring defense and read the other fun stat that I had that will lead into the other one?
Where's the other one? Where'd it go?
I moved it down right here below it.
315. Oh, there's that one. Oh.
That one goes along with our scoring defense.
Yeah.
Read that one first.
Yeah. Go ahead and read that one.
Before we went to break, we talked about the scoring defense and how Arkansas was 119th, allowing 32.7 points per game. Auburn is 24th, averaging 17.86 points per game. So round up, call that 18 points per game. It's a fun stat that I found. Auburn is the only team, in fact, that's in the top 30 in total scoring defense with a losing record.
Total scoring defense being points given up, points allowed.
Points
by
allowed per game. Yep. Again, Auburn is 24th, averaging 18 points per game. Auburn's the only team in the top 30 in that category with a losing record.
It's impressive.
Auburn is one of only four teams in the top 50 that has a losing record. There are four teams in the top 50, but there's only one in the top 30, and it's Auburn. Those other three are Penn State, who no longer has a head coach, South Carolina, who may not have a head coach, and Clemson, who may not have a head coach.
I mean, it's so bad, and it truly puts it into perspective. We've talked about it all season. We talked about it all last season, about how good the Auburn defense truly is playing. And I don't care that they give up yards. I don't care that they've played top 20 teams. This defense is a title-contending defense.
What's the question we asked yesterday of genuinely how many teams would feel like they could win a national championship or be undefeated at this point in the season if they had Auburn's defense?
Let's just go through it. Let's just go. let's just do it. Let's go. Let's have a little exercise here on the show, right? Not actual exercise. We don't want to do that. But what about Texas A&M? If they had Auburn's defense, because I questioned their defense in the first hour of today's show, they've given up 40-plus points twice.
But nobody questions their offense.
Nobody worries about their offense. Texas A&M would be a legitimate national title contender. I don't think they are right now. They would be if they had Auburn's defense. Alabama, they've gotten better. That defense is playing solid. But you give them this Auburn defense, they might just be the best team in the country. Georgia, what a wild statement to say. Okay, that Georgia could be wishing for Auburn's defense, but my God, you give them this DJ Durkin defense right now, they are the best team in the country.
They could be one of the best teams ever.
Ever. Oregon, solid. I think they're fine. Georgia Tech, solid. I think they're fine.
I still think Georgia Tech and Oregon, I think they'd both take them.
Oh, they absolutely would, but those teams aren't hurting for a defense.
Right.
Ole Miss.
Oh, my gosh.
Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss would be undefeated, a top five team, and a legitimate contender to win a national title if they had Auburn's level defense. Miami, I think you could say the same thing. Vanderbilt, again, they're not desperate for defense, but they could use it. And then you just start going through any team in the top 25, they would kill to have Auburn's defense. But folks, we're talking about teams in the top 10 that if you gave them a magic wand and said, we're going to flip these defenses, we're going to switch places, here we go, they would do it immediately. Kirby Smart at Georgia would trade his defense for the Auburn defense right now. If you could stick him with a truth serum in his leg, he would say, yes, I would switch defenses right now.
Now you just put the same Auburn defense with an at most average statistical offense.
Ohio State's offense, Indiana's offense, A&M's offense.
I think those are all well above it. I'm just saying, you put them, Auburn is, again, well beyond the halfway points, but put them at 60th passing and 60th rushing.
Yeah.
Auburn's undefeated.
Yeah. What teams on that list? Do you have that list pulled back up?
Yeah.
What teams are in that range? What teams are 60th in offense?
Offense, let's see. Hold on.
Yeah, passing or rushing or just total? Just total offense, 60th in the country, which is considered average.
Oh, my gosh. We'll go passing offense. 60th. Hold on, I got to click more. Missouri. Vanderbilt. Maryland. Georgia. Florida, these are all passing offense, but still.
Still, any of those offenses, if you pair that with Auburn's defense, they're an undefeated team. They're top 10 in the country. But yet, Auburn can't figure that part out. That's okay. You know who has? Alabama. We'll talk about that with our man Mike Rodak of Bama 247. He joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. And it's been a little bit since we've had this guy on the air, but excited to have him back on. Our man Mike Rodak of Bama 247 joining us from Tuscaloosa. What's going on, man? I know it's been a busy time for you covering the Crimson Tide, but we're glad that you're back on with us.
Yeah, not too much going on. It's a little bit slower this week after, you know, the last four games for Alabama against ranked opponents, but back on the road, driving to Columbia, South Carolina on Friday.
Well, I know there's just a ton going on, and man, what a difference in-season adjustments make, right? And we were able to talk to you after the Florida State game and kind of what the feelings were like those next several weeks, but that seems like it was years ago, right? I mean, Bama fans seem to be on cloud nine, and they should be because Alabama's playing like one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a team that, to be honest, is not – oh, it's not like it's a different team, you know, that played Florida State. I think some of the things, some of the weaknesses and the strengths of that team on that particular day in Tallahassee are still, they still apply. They still exist. But, you know, it's a different mentality. I think a different, an edge is the word that Kalen DeBoer likes to use that they've had. Obviously, there's a lot of plays in that Florida State game where guys, you know, could be questioned for their effort and things like that. And that really hasn't been an issue since. You know, there's been a few penalties here and there that, you know, might have been similar to that game, but, you know, players have stepped up, and I think they've, you know, it was a wake-up call for them that just because they wear the Alabama uniform, they can't just walk out onto the field and beat any team that shows up. And, you know, they've really buckled down and, you know, really attacked these games a lot better, you know, the six games that they've played since. And particularly these last four, you know, they've all been pretty tough against SEC teams that have been ranked. So, you know, it's still an Alabama team that is, if you look at the stats, I mean, they're not, it's not like the late 2010s where it's just, they're running up and down the field on teams. It's, I think they're ninth, you know, in terms of games against SEC opponents in yards per play. I think they're 12th among SEC teams in yards per play on defense. So, the raw numbers aren't great, but really where this team has excelled is the turnover margin, and they don't turn the ball over offensively. Ty Simpson has one interception on the year, and they've made some really timely turnovers on defense. You know, the prime example, you know, being that Tennessee pick six right before halftime. So that's kind of what they've thrived on. And again, it's not a completely different team than week one, but it's a team that's making a lot more plays when they need to.
You mentioned Ty Simpson, excuse me, taking care of the football. He's also been the leading passer in every single game so far for Alabama, regardless of whoever they are playing. This game, the season high against Wisconsin, throwing for 382, also 340 against Vanderbilt. Only 253 against Tennessee. But what have you continued to be impressed by Ty Simpson if there's something other than just taking care of the football?
Yeah, I mean, it's the decision-making in terms of when to stay in the pocket, when to try to extend plays, you know, when, you know, to try to just get rid of the ball and not do too much, because that was one of his problems against Florida State, was kind of running around, trying to make plays that weren't there, trying to play hero ball, you know, turning his back to the field, running backwards. And then he would scramble, and there's a couple plays where he had no shot of getting a first down and he still was running, or the opposite. He had a chance to get a first down on one of those plays in Tallahassee, and he threw the ball, and it was incomplete. So just a lot of kind of flimsy decision-making in that game, and he's cleaned a lot of that up and done it pretty quickly. You know, that was one of the big things the coaching staff wanted him to do. And remember that even that week two game, you know, they were playing his backup, Austin Mack, in the second quarter just to try to push Ty a little bit and, you know, create that competition. And he's responded really well to that. And, you know, he's played within himself a lot more. And that's kind of the wording that Kalen DeBoer likes to use. And, There's been a few times where he's gotten greedy. I think that's a word that Kalen's used as well, and maybe gotten himself in trouble. But in general, he's just getting rid of the ball. This is not an offense where they want the quarterback to be running around. They're not going to run a whole lot of design quarterback runs like they did last year, Jalen Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
This is an offense that wants to throw the ball and get the ball in the hands of their receivers. And that's what this staff did really, really well a couple of years ago at Washington. And that's what they're trying to replicate here. And obviously through seven games, they've done a pretty good job of it.
We got our man, Mike Rodak of Bama 247 on the phone lines with us here in Auburn and Opelika. And looking at this Alabama squad now ranked fourth in the country in the latest AP poll, 6-1 overall, and just rolling since the season opening loss to Florida State. If you had to pick a game that was most impressive to this point, before we kind of look ahead to this weekend and the rest of the schedule for the Crimson Tide, is there one that sticks out more than any of the others, Mike, for this Bama team against Georgia, Vandy, Missouri, Tennessee? Which of those wins was the most impressive in your mind and why?
Still Georgia. I think there's different reasons for all those other wins, and I think they made some pretty big plays in all of them. You know, Vanderbilt, they had the two red zone turnovers of Pavia. Missouri, they had the interception at the end of the game. That was important. Georgia, they had the fourth down stop, but Georgia's the best team that they've played. I still think that. I still think Georgia's going to be in it at the end, especially, you know, they've gotten past Ole Miss. I think Texas is probably a big one. Even Georgia Tech, I guess, is a big one for them. But, you know, Georgia's going to be there in the end. They might see them again. And, you know, for them to go in and end that winning streak in Athens that they had of 33 games, like, players were pretty ecstatic after that game. They were kind of jumping up and down in the field. They kind of knew the gravity of what they had just done. So it's still the Georgia win that's most impressive, but there's different things that they've done well, I think, in each of these past four games in particular. It's not always been, you know, a consistent theme.
You now mentioned it, but as you were hopping on the show here with us, making the way up to Columbia, South Carolina here this weekend as Alabama travels to South Carolina. 3-4, only 1-4 in SEC play. We all know about Lenora Sellers, but you've heard about the struggles, especially on the offensive side of the football and on that offensive line. Where do you still see that South Carolina could challenge this Alabama team, whether that's offensively or defensively, especially at home?
That's a good question. You kind of have to search a little bit. I mean, last year it was the defensive ends, I think, that really scared Alabama going into the South Carolina game. You know, it was Kyle Kennard and Dylan Stewart. Obviously, Kennard's in the NFL now. Stewart's still around, but he's been banged up. And I think from what I've heard earlier this week, it seems like he's going to play, but you know, how effective he'll be, I don't know. So, this Alabama offensive line has struggled. And, you know, pass protection's been an issue. They did not allow a sack to Tennessee. They did allow a fumble of Ty Simpson, you know, when his arm was not going forward with the ball. But overall, you know, this offensive line needs to get better, both in pass protection and, again, you know, in the running game. That's been a huge problem for Alabama. They're 111th in the country in yards per carry. So, I would still say it's the South Carolina defensive front. It's not what it was last year in my mind, but that's kind of where Alabama needs to just go out and dominate. Because if they don't, you know, there's a chance of kind of letting the crowd hang into it in Columbia. And you never know with Sellers. Like, he's a talented player. Obviously, it's not worked out nearly as well as people thought with him this year. But he's good enough, I think, where he can make some plays against Alabama if you kind of let him. So Alabama's done a really good job of controlling the ball this year. If they can get a better running game, if they can protect Ty Simpson, then I think they're in really good shape for this game.
You look at what the rest of the schedule looks like for Alabama: at South Carolina this weekend, home for 20th LSU, which is what they are right now, home for 13th ranked Oklahoma, which is what they are right now, and then the last non-conference game before you make a trip to Auburn for the Iron Bowl. Have the fans come back to this team and kind of, I don't know, looked at the outlook of championship is still the goal here? We know that's how Alabama operates on a daily basis, but have they come back around to that idea after ripping off four straight ranked wins in a row that Alabama could go on to win the national title?
Yeah, I think people are certainly on board, you know, with that thought. Obviously, like you said, it's kind of the expectation from the get-go. I think if you sat there after the Florida State game and went through their schedule, you could probably pick out 2, 3, 4, 5 games that they could lose.
Yeah.
And obviously they haven't done that yet. So you know, it becomes a question of who can beat them. What kind of game does it take? And, you know, again, I think they're certainly a beatable team. This is not a juggernaut that's just putting up insane numbers. But, you know, there's a team that certainly should be in the conversation to go to the national title game and to win it. I think Oklahoma, of the games that they have left, is probably the one that would scare me the most if I was, you know, an Alabama fan or whatever, where it's, you know, their defensive line is really good. Obviously, we saw what they did against Auburn. And their offense is much improved from the offense that beat Alabama last year with Jackson Arnold. So that's an interesting game. I mean, obviously, Alabama gets them at home, and that's the place where they've now won 16 straight. I don't know if that's I think Oklahoma is a better team than Auburn, obviously. I think playing at home helps Alabama in that game, and that's sure. You know, kind of the opposite for the Auburn, you know, for the Iron Bowl, where it's playing at Auburn, not a great Auburn team, but we know what happens there. So one of those two games, I think, is quite possible to trip them up. But even with two losses, you know, Alabama's still in pretty good shape for the playoff, or very good shape.
He writes for Bama 247, Mike Rodak with us on the phone lines here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And before we let you get out of here, while football season is chugging right along, basketball is right around the corner. And this Alabama basketball team, we know they're loaded with talent. And Nate Oates is back for another season in Tuscaloosa. Took on Florida State a couple of days ago. And a game that is not surprising with the score, with how Alabama plays, 109-105. Lots of points, lots of running, I'm sure, and they have a chance to do it again this Sunday when they take on Furman out in Greenville.
Yeah, that's obviously a new Florida State staff, a new team down there with Luke Laux, who came from the NBA. And obviously Nate, you know, loves to run an NBA-style system himself, so it's kind of a mirror image of two teams that were just running up and down the court. They shot 77 threes combined, you know, obviously scored 214 points. So, you know, we know Alabama can shoot, and this is what Nate's kind of said throughout the offseason. This might be his best shooting team, especially when Latrell Wrightsell gets fully back from his Achilles injury. They have Jahlil Bethea, a Miami transfer, who is injured right now, should be back probably, you know, Christmas or so. But it's the question of this team is defense. And, you know, there have been some good Nate Oates defensive teams over the years. A couple that won SEC titles were in the top five defensively. They have not been there lately. And that's still a pretty big question for this year's team and kind of how they can hang with teams that are going to pound them down low, that are going to rebound. There were a few games last year where they just got beat down low, Florida especially. Ole Miss was another one. So they can shoot, they can run the floor, they can do all that. It's a question of can you, you know, win on the glass, can you win defensively? And I think that's still an open question, but this is an Alabama team that the first week of the season is going to Madison Square Garden to play St. John's, and then they come back home 4 days later and play Purdue, which are both top five teams. So we're going to find out very, very quickly about this Alabama team.
Yeah, that non-conference schedule is brutal for Alabama. You mentioned St. John's, Purdue, Illinois, Gonzaga, UNLV, Clemson, Arizona, South Florida. I mean, just a bunch of loaded games in there before opening up with Kentucky in SEC play for Alabama basketball. Mike Rodak with Bama 247. He joins us here on ESPN 106.7 to give us all sorts of insights on the Alabama Crimson Tide. My man, it's great to always have you on the show. We appreciate your time and your insight. As always, tell people where they can find you and all of your work.
Yeah, now Bama247.com and on X at Mike Rodak.
We appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon, and safe travels to and from Columbia, okay?
You got it. Thank you.
Mike Rodak, Bama247. Check him out for more Alabama coverage wherever however you want to get there. You can, again, Bama247.com. He covers the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Man, been a great show today. great show today with good conversation. A lot of stats, a lot of nuggets, a lot of bullet points, a lot of talking points, and two great guests on the show as well. We just got off the phone with Mike Rodak of Bama247, our Alabama insider, so we appreciate him joining us. And Jordan Hill of Dogs247 was with us in hour number one. So just old school flashback to Rivalry Wednesdays like we used to have back in the day. So been a great show with those two guests. Thank you for them and their time. Check them out if you're looking for more Georgia or Alabama content. And then we've talked a lot of Auburn, Arkansas, more so on the comparison between the two, right, statistically, with the offenses and the defenses and things like that. And as we get through the rest of the week tomorrow and then on Friday, we will start talking more matchups and things like that. And if Auburn can win, will they win? Do fans even care if they win? Like, those are legitimate conversations, which is sad, but it's this reality. So, yeah. How would you like to wrap up the show today?
Oh, man. Well, we've also teased another nugget that we haven't said. Yeah. So, it'll be more of a legitimate talking point tomorrow, just because Hugh Freeze did mention today that all three quarterbacks are ready to take snaps if needed in Fayetteville on Saturday. You heard a couple weeks ago that Ashton had packages for the Missouri game that they ended up not going to, and now after seeing...
I mean, Jackson just looks so good.
Yeah, well, again, the defense is in the first half. It's hard to take him out, and it's like, again, yeah, you understand that, but when the same thing happens week after week in the second half, you need the spark. And so that's what he has, he being Freeze, has described Ashton Daniels as possibly being that guy. Deuce Knight could also be right in that conversation as well. And again, we'll have a lot of the talking points of quarterbacks tomorrow, because how fun is it that we're at that point in the season where we get to talk about the starting quarterback once again, because
Auburn's never had quarterback controversy in the middle of the season before.
Normally
it's before the season.
I was legitimately talking with a couple of my buddies before the show today, because when we were sitting there making our rundown, and again, they're Georgia fans, and I was like, genuinely, when's the last time that you've wondered who the starting quarterback was going to be, unless it was injury-wise, but like based off of talent, based off of success on the field? Like, when's the last time that you've actually legitimately wondered who was going to be the starting quarterback?
It's been a while.
And the conversation was, yeah, it's been a while. When's the last time you've had a conversation middle of the season about possibly benching your starter? They were like, there were those, half-you-know-what conversations of Carson Beck last year, but even then, he was still better than half the quarterbacks in the country. So
Georgia's been one of the more consistent programs in the SEC when it comes to just solid starting quarterback. I mean, Alabama's had a bunch of drama with that. LSU seems to be somewhat steady. Ole Miss has had some drama. I mean, but Lane just stacks up on quarterbacks and tries to figure out which one's the best.
I think you're
onto something.
It's a miserable conversation to have just about every calendar year.
Yeah. And again, normally it's in preseason for Auburn. It's like, oh, this guy should start. No, this guy should start. Well, I think this guy should start.
And then you play four games and it's like, well,
maybe we should
give this other guy a chance. And that's kind of where we're at right now. It's like the memes of all the circles, the calendars that everybody puts. It's like Braves fans, and it's like, you love where you're at. You can't win in the season. Yes, all of the cycles. Right now, Auburn is in the what do we do cycle, and that's about where it is. Your nugget of the day as we leave you on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon.
Not going to be for long. I just want to confirm that I did look this up and double check. Not that I didn't believe you. I just...
It doesn't feel real.
I didn't believe it.
I guess this could be under Jack Snarno. This could just be under Auburn's football, or Auburn's offense. But Jack Snarno has not thrown a touchdown in a month. He's not passed for a touchdown in over a month. That's it. That's the nugget for the day. Last touchdown that was thrown by Jackson Arnold was the 2-yard fade to Cam Coleman against Oklahoma.
He has 5 total touchdown passes on the year. And the last one was against the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yep, so there you go.
Do you remember the date of that game? The date of that Oklahoma game was Saturday, September 20th. It has officially been over a month since Jackson Arnold threw a touchdown pass. That gives you confidence, right? Going on the road to Fayetteville?
That's all. We're out of here.
That gives you confidence. Don't worry, though. The Arkansas defense is bad. Auburn will figure it out this weekend. Everything's going to be okay. Now, whether we believe that or not, I don't know. Guess you'll have to come back tomorrow and find out. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.